John used to have a Lexus.
I did. Hey, do me a favor.
Come to my funeral.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to History Defeats Itself, a comedy podcast that examines a new topic each week and looks at the past, the present, and potential future in an effort to determine if we're capable of learning and changing or if history simply continues to repeat and defeat itself. We are part of the Sonar Network of Podcasts. My name is Kevin Rosenquist. Thank you very much for the download. We truly appreciate every single listen that we get. When I say we, I am, of course, referring to my COVID co-hosts out there in beautiful Los Angeles, California, John Banks, Greg Mitchell. How are you guys feeling?
About 100 degrees.
That's better than you were.
Yeah.
I thought John was going to have a better answer than he did. I'm feeling pretty good, man.
Well, you had it a lot earlier and then gave it to John.
Yeah, COVID's in my rear view, man. And guess who lives in my rear view mirror? John Banks.
John Banks.
I wish I lived in my rear view mirror.
Yep, that explains how John's feeling.
Yeah. John, you've looked better. I feel bad for you.
Incrementally.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank you both for powering through and getting some episodes recorded, though. And I'm sure all our loyal Mysterians are really very, very appreciative as well. I haven't gotten any emails or letters yet, but I'm sure they're coming.
There's no way to substantiate anything.
No,
you just
nothing.
Said, but it sounded cool.
It's just broad assumptions.
Well, I did get a care package from one of our listeners.
Oh,
what was inside?
It was just a dick pic.
I think that was Greg.
He is a listener, though.
He is. He's our number one fan.
If I sent it, it's a non-care package. It's like apathetic package.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to stay up to date on all things HDI. And remember to join our Facebook group, History Defeats Itself Interactive. I had nothing else for that. I made it sound like I had something more for that. I did not.
It's self-explanatory.
It is. It is.
You
know what it is.
You
know
how Facebook works.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading notes.
Know.
So on each episode of History Defeats Itself, one of us will pick the topic and do the research while the other two don't do shit. They don't even know what we're going to talk about until it's revealed here during our recording session. And lastly, as always, please remember that we are a comedy podcast, and while we do put time into our research, we are not actually historians, so we're bound to get some things wrong. But if you do have thoughts or comments about the episode, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email at historydefeatsitself@gmail.com or get on that Facebook group page. And before we start, we want to give a hearty shout out to our friends in the Great White North, Marie and Nicolina of the spooky and hilarious podcast Paranormal. If you like stories of hauntings, ghosts, and other eerie happenings, or if you're stuck at home with COVID and looking for a creepy yet funny podcast, check out Paranormal. Do you guys have any supernatural experiences? Any ghost stories? I mean, aside from John being visited by three spirits every Christmas Eve, as I only assume happens because of his bah humbug nature.
Well, you know what? They don't even come around anymore. They gave up.
They gave up. You won. You beat the spirits.
Yeah. They're just like, he's just going to die alone. It's okay.
And miserable.
So I had a really scary thing happen to me the other night. So I was in full dad mode at 3 a.m. And I'm like, what in the fuck is making all that fucking noise? It sounds like money, right? Like money's being... And I heard some
water...
Was
it a space laser?
Yeah. I heard some... Yeah, that was a Jewish joke, man. Okay. I heard some water running. I'm like, you know what? This is definitely costing me money. So I'm like walking all around the house trying to figure out where the fuck it's coming from. And I go to the hallway bathroom and the toilet's running, right? So it's one of those things where you need to jiggle the handle.
Sure.
So the thing stops. And it's like 3 a.m. and I'm jiggling the fucking handle. And I turn around and Jack's like right behind me going, what are you doing, Dad? I'm like, ah!
was it really like... Jack?
It was like a 19-year-old kid with abs.
Okay.
Fucking Jack. I look like Jack. He's like, what's up, Dad? What's up, Dad? I'm like, Jack, it's fucking 3 a.m. And he goes, yeah, I thought I heard you awake. I'm like, yeah, I didn't expect to see you. And then I was scared, and I had him tuck me back into bed.
you should reach out to Marie and Nicolina because maybe you'll get picked for one of their Hometown Haunts episodes where they read listener stories and sometimes even have them on as guests. Maybe you guys can workshop this and figure out if it was really Jack or it was really Jack, wasn't it?
It was Jack. It wasn't.
Okay. They're having I think on their next episode, they're having one of their Hometown Haunts. They're having a guest on. Yeah.
That is so true. They are.
Is it too late for me to apply?
For the next episode.
I think for the next episode it might be, yeah.
Yeah, because that slot's already been filled.
Yeah.
And they talk about Ringos, which are a Canadian chip, I think. Ringo or Rings? No? No, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I don't
about
know. Or. I mean, ask the Canadian boy over there.
Yeah.
I haven't lived in Canada for a while, so I don't know. They could have completely changed their chip culture.
I think it was called because I remember it was like on the first I went back and started on the first episode and I don't remember which one it was, but one of them said they were having rosé and Ringos, and I was just like, what the hell is a Ringo? And they're like these little chips things.
Is it like a dingo that ate my baby?
I don't think so. I think it's a chip. That's why I just said it tastes like a chip.
A dingo ate my baby. All right. Well, Ringos or no Ringos, check out Paranormal wherever you get your podcasts. Very funny show. All right. Tonight, it is my turn to lead the crew. John, Craig.
Kevin.
You guys both live in Los Angeles.
We do.
That's presumptuous.
Has a reputation for requiring a lot of driving, more so than a lot of other major cities, right?
That's true.
That is true.
I'm with you so far, buddy.
Is it a kind of a combination of just really being jam-packed with people and not having the best public transportation? Is that kind of...
If you don't know the answer to this question, I question your ability to do research on a topic that I can't quite figure out what the fuck you did yet.
Well, it's called a lead-in, and I'm also trying to include your fucking dumbass in this, so...
Right. Let me...
This is like, hey, Greg, this is hey, like Greg, a magician let, explaining sh- a
let, let, let us talk. John?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
John had nothing.
I would
to
say
add.
No. I would say it is because we have a very shitty public transportation, and it's very spread out. And the reason we have very shitty public transportation is because, I guess, it's really expensive. It's like $1 billion a mile to make subway or something like that.
Hmm. That is a lot of money.
I thought it was the dingoes.
Still in the dingoes
here. No dingoes. Was it funny then? Not funny now. Ringos? Not going to be funny the third time when you do it. So let's just skip ahead to the part where you're not funny. Please go on, Kevin.
Thanks, John.
I kind of disagree with John a little bit about transportation and like...
Oh, now you have a thought.
Well, I think Los Angeles, just the nature of it, the geography, it's just wide. It's too spread out, man. And there's a high concentration of people. And we didn't build like a city of, you know, high rises.
And you're not on a grid and stuff like that.
It's not... Well...
Also the mountains. The mountains really do cause a lot of problems to go from one place to the
other. Do you want to know some interesting trivia about the city of Los Angeles?
Boy, it better be interesting.
It's bisected by the Santa Monica Mountain Range. So you've got the main basin, and then you've got like the Santa Monica Mountain span, and then like the north part of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Valley, and like San Fernando Valley. So there's a mountain range literally going through the city. So you try to fucking grid that shit.
I mean, I actually think you brought that up on this show before.
This is true.
Fuck you guys.
So what are your commutes like?
I mean, well, it depends. It depends on how many assholes decided to drive like assholes to stay down the main. Typically, it takes me about half of an hour to get to work and 45 minutes to get home.
Okay, so you spend a fair amount of time in the car.
That's because I stopped for a rub and tub.
Yeah, of course. And some Ringos.
15 extra minutes of...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. John, what about you?
It's 45 minutes going in and an hour to an hour and a half coming home.
Holy shit, hour and a half.
Yeah. You know, and it all depends. Every day I use Waze. And so it's like I can go down the 101 or I can go down the 5, which in California we say the...
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why.
I think you brought that up on the show before, John.
So, let me ask you guys something. Would either of you say you have road rage?
Never. No way. I'm too old for that shit. When I was younger, I used to, though.
John?
You mean currently? Or
sure.
When I'm driving?
I mean, if you had it right now, I'd be kind of alarmed, to be honest
John,
with you.
John really hates asphalt, man.
I have podcast rage right now. That's brought on by doing a podcast with Greg Mitchell.
Think about all the people on the planet, and you chose to do a podcast with me.
I don't as much anymore. I will say, because like, for Greg and I, for our jobs, we definitely have road days. We'll be on the road, and those days can get a little tiring sometimes, and it's possible that, you know, maybe in the car for a total of 7 hours or 8 hours in one day, and that can start getting tedious. So those days, towards the end, I get a little bit pissy. But I don't know if it'd call it road rage. It's just, you know, I think pissy's a better word. So,
well, that's our topic for tonight. Let's talk about road rage, shall we?
Oh, man. I really thought we were going to go Subways.
I do have some experiences with road rage, so I'm not saying I'm perfect. I just have kind of matured a little bit. I've had some really embarrassing episodes.
I think everybody has to some degree. So, I probably have, you know, I used to. I would say kind of like what you said, Greg. I used to have some road rage. I think I've chilled out. I don't. I also don't have as nearly the commute that I once had. But even still, like, I do think that getting older, I've kind of like just learned to deal with the fact that there are just assholes on the road. And so anyway, road rage, it actually is considered a criminal offense, which I thought was interesting. I didn't realize that because the driver engaging in it has the intent to cause harm. And obviously, when you think about road rage in general, it's pretty stupid, because is it really worth it to pay hefty fines or go to jail if you do something stupid and ram a car or something, and just because they cut you off or something? I mean, if you really think about it, it's not our best moments when we're in the car and we get mad at somebody, you know?
Why is it so much fun to, it's almost equal to fantasizing about winning the lottery, right? It's fantasizing about fucking running someone off the side of the road. Like, you wouldn't do it 9 times out of 10, but it feels so good to just fucking, you just want to see that person's face the second before they plummet to their death, right?
Well, interestingly that you brought that up,
wow,
Greg, because this is a little further down, but I'm gonna move it up a little bit. There's a stat that says 2% of drivers admit to attempting to run a driver off the road. 2%. So that's insanity. Okay, so in 2018, I looked this up. There were an estimated 227.5 million drivers in the U.S. 2%.
So that means it's like 6 people.
I mean, I know that surveys are based on sample sizes, but that would mean 4.5 million Americans have tried to run someone off the goddamn road. I mean, if that's true, then we're in a lot of trouble as a country.
So I was went home for Thanksgiving to Alabama, and then I was on my way back from Alabama to the airport, and I wasn't going. It was like a 2-lane, and so I wasn't going fast enough. And so this guy, he was like honking at me.
I've been with John. He was not going fast.
But there was a truck in front of me. There was nowhere to go.
Like, where were you going
to
go? Yeah.
Right. There's nowhere for me to go. So this guy, he's like honking and flashing his lights, and he's like, all mad. And then he just goes to the shoulder and floors it. He passes me on the shoulder. And I will say, for me, I was like, oh God, I hope he dies.
There's the John I know and love.
And I want to go to his funeral, and I want to watch his children cry, and I want to walk up to them, and I want to say, "Hey, this is why your dumb fuck father died. Don't be like your dumb fuck father. Him dying was actually a blessing for you." But I didn't.
Yeah,
because
he
didn't die. And honestly, I wasn't going to go back for the funeral. That would have been too much work.
You would have missed it. You would have been like, you looked at the paper and be like, oh, it was yesterday. Fuck.
Oh. Oh, damn it. They had a cheese fountain.
How about, did you guys grow up with road rage? Did your parents have road rage?
Oh, my dad. My dad.
My dad just had rage.
Your dad had road rage, ATV rage. He had all sorts of rage.
My dad just had steroid rage.
My dad, he was sitting in a lazy boy rage. I don't know how you get pissed sitting in a lazy boy, but he would get pissed sitting in a lazy boy.
My dad had road rage growing up, and I mean, he still does, and that kind of blows me away, because I mean, he's in his 70s now, and he's like that classic, you know, old guy who's just like, it's like, hey dad, how's it going, when he comes to visit, and he's like, oh, traffic was terrible, you know. It's like, okay man, I don't know what to say.
My bones are cold.
He always turn the heat up, dad, it's July. But he admits to having some rage, but he blames it on years and years of commuting, and to his in his defense, he commuted about 30 miles each way to and from work for many years, and we live just outside of Chicago. And any listeners who are from the northwest suburbs of Chicago know that a 30-mile commute in rush hour is enough to make even the calmest driver nuts. But Greg, your dad had a tough time on the road?
Oh, man, it was crazy. If I can tell you how many times I heard my mom say, "Alan, the kids are in the car." My dad's like, "I don't give a fuck. This fucking guy is running past me, and I'm not putting up with that shit."
It is funny. It's like this sort of like, yeah, it's like they frogged me. They can't get away with this. And it's like, I don't know what it is about fathers, but it's just like they just can't let somebody get away with something. It's like a masculinity thing, like they're being emasculated or something.
Well, what pisses you off more, if someone does something to you that they were completely oblivious about and they're just like, "Dur, dur, dur, I'm just driving along," or is it someone like that just maliciously cuts you off and goes really slow and they're like, you know, fucking, like, what would piss you off more?
I think malicious stuff probably pisses me off more, because I think one of the things that drive me nuts on the road is super selfish driving. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't care what happens to anybody else as long as I make this light, or as long as I get to my destination 15 seconds faster. You know what I mean? Like, so the people that do the malicious stuff, for me personally, I think probably piss me off more.
It's people who pass me on the fucking shoulder of the road.
It's fairly malicious.
Because here's the thing, right? It's like we're all following the same rules and you're not better. Yeah. You don't get... Why do you get to go outside the rules, right?
And like also, that, like, he could be endangering you, too, by doing that. Like, he loses control. And
yeah.
I have kind of an answer that you probably didn't think about. Explosive diarrhea.
That is, okay, you know, that is a good point.
If that was happening, then, you know what? I hope that guy made it to a bathroom.
You're probably going to go to his funeral anyway, because he just shat himself to death.
See, I think, though, in that scenario, it's your duty, no pun intended,
to point your asshole.
To, like, drive by John in that situation, roll down your window and go, "Diarrhea!" And just, like, point at your ass.
And you, so, then all of a sudden, John puts his fucking siren on the roof of his car, and he gives him a police escort.
"Everybody, look out! This man has to shit! Move!"
Oh, I got passenger road rage at my wife.
Did you?
Wait, what?
Okay, so we went out. I went out for sushi. She went too. She didn't eat sushi because she won't do it. And
she,
like,
doesn't.
I had
she won't eat sushi. I didn't know that.
No, she didn't like fish. I don't get. I married her anyway though, because I'm a saint. So
yeah, you're the saint.
We had too much chili. I had too much chili oil, and I don't know if you know what chili oil does to your digestive system, but it takes everything that's inside your body and it just says, "Hey, let's get out of this body." And Jen was driving, and we were getting home. We were coming home, and Ray loves it when I tell a story, because he said I just get madder and madder every fucking time I tell a story. But we're in a 55 mile per hour speed limit road, and she's going like 45. And I'm like, "Jen, I have to shit immediately." And
so were the kids in the car, or they just like the story?
No, they just like the story.
Okay, gotcha,
all the time.
Gotcha.
So I'm like, Jen. I swear to God, if you get there and you get pulled over, just tell the cop. I'll pay the ticket. I don't give a fuck. I'll go to jail. I just need to go see the toilet immediately." And she's like, "Just calm down, Greg. We're going to get there when we get there. There's no need to speed up." And she's not being a smartass. She's just like, "Safety is very important on the road." And I was like yelling at her. I was like, "Fucking, I'm going to shit my pants. I'm going to shit my pants in your car. I hate you. I fucking am regretting every minute I've ever spent with you." And got really angry. And she loves to tell the end of the story where I did not indeed shit my pants. But that's not the point. The point is the fear of shitting your pants. Mm-hmm. So I got really big passenger road rage.
I shit my pants in a Kohl's once.
Wait, what did you say?
He said he shit his pants in a Kohl's once.
What? So when I was 15, me and my brother went with my grandparents from Alabama up to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for my cousin's wedding. And on the way back, my granddad was behind this 18-wheeler. And he had forever to pass. And he was just like, "Not going to pass, not going to pass, not going to pass." He waited until there was another 18-wheeler coming. And then my granddad, like, spun out, and the 18-wheeler in front of us had to go off the road. And the one coming at us had to go off the road, so we didn't die. right?
That's kind of bitching.
Yeah.
did he do it on purpose? Like, did he wait that long on purpose?
Yes, because he was just an asshole. And so anyway, so these two truck drivers go off the road so we don't die, and then we stop at a pit stop or like a rest area, and I get in the I get in the front of their car, and I'm just like I'm not gonna let him drive. And so when he gets back to the car, I think he was about 72, because this is right before he got Alzheimer's. So he starts trying to like push me out of the way, like, so literally I'm sitting in the driver's seat of this car, and my granddad is like in my lap trying to like just drive the car with me sitting there,
like with his really bony fingers too, like his old fucking super strong old man fingers.
But I wouldn't give it up. And so finally I got out of the car and said, fuck it, I'll call my dad. I'm like, and I was like 4 or 5 hours from my brother, but me and my brother both were like, nope, we're just gonna call our dad. So he ended up letting my brother drive, and he was just, he hated us after that.
John was 35 years old at the time, too. I'm calling my dad.
I was 15. I just said I was 15.
Whatever.
But did you even have a license? You shouldn't have been driving either.
No, I was at a permit. I knew at 15, you don't fucking pass an 18-wheeler when there's a 13-wheeler coming at you.
So really, that was more your rage than his rage.
Well, no, he was super pissed because he was trying to get me out of the way.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a nurturing relationship between grands. You know, most grandfathers take their grandsons fishing and be like, hey, here's my old Playboys.
Some play chicken with 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
So what other things like really piss you off? Like what gets under your skin when you're driving? Even if it's not like sends you into a rage, like what are the things that drive you nuts?
It doesn't drive me nuts, but I always think it's funny when I'm in LA, like in the, because of the freeways here, the reason it takes so long to get everywhere because there's a million people, so you never go fast, right? And so it's like these people who will be cutting in and out of traffic, like just like getting ahead by like two cars.
Yeah, like this lane's flying, buddy. You know,
yeah. It's just like they don't, and it doesn't annoy me, but I just find it very like, oh, you're stupid.
Yeah.
So
needlessly dangerous.
Yeah, and just like, man, you're putting so much energy into something that's getting you nowhere.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, what pisses me off is like when I'm driving behind a car or truck and I see like a Trump bumper sticker.
Yeah, that gets you ragey.
Yeah,
yeah,
that gets me pissed.
Does tailgating drive you guys crazy if someone's glued to your bumper?
I fucking hate tailgaters.
That used to piss me off more. Now I it doesn't bother me as much now. Like I could actually use a new bumper on the Jeep, but I will say that it changes a little bit, and maybe you can attest to this, Greg, with when you have a kid in the car. Like every little thing that somebody does is a little, like, pisses me off just a little bit more. Not to the point where I get road rage, but where I'm just like, you motherfucker. You know, I've said before, I might have said it on this podcast, I think everybody should have to drive with an infant in their car at least once, just to understand like how it's, I don't know, it's weird. It just changes your perspective a little bit, I think. I'm sure that'll go away and I won't care anymore.
I think everyone should have to drive with like a 12 pack.
Yeah. You know, like everyone
container.
Yeah.
Slow you right down.
Yeah. I was actually one time when I was in Alabama, me and my buddy Brad, we both had beers and we were just driving around open containers and we get rear-ended, but not hard. Like we get rear-ended by this couple, like who they were like in their 80s. And so we get out of the car and we're like, this is how smart we are. We're both holding our beers, like looking at the back of the car. And I was just like, that's fine. And then his wife, she was just like, he always does this.
The guy who hit you?
Yeah.
Did you give her a beer?
No. We got in the car and we left because, you know, we had open containers. So
how long ago was this?
This is like, I was 20.
A few weeks ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, after I got that DUI, I don't drive drunk anymore.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Another thing I would say that pisses me off is, you know, I mean, we all kind of do it, but the texting, like when you see someone, you can see their phone up and they're driving, you're just like, dude, come on, man. That, you know, and they're looking at it and they're just kind of doing this. I mean, do you guys don't text and drive because you do the voice commands, right?
Yeah, I used to text and drive a lot more than I do now. You're right. That, and it does piss me off, but that's the old double standard when you're driving.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. Not using blinkers. It's in this small thing, but it just drives, it pisses me off. It's like, it's not
you
that hard.
You would hate to be behind me.
Why don't you use a fucking blinker?
Because I know I'm going over. I don't need to tell myself I'm going over.
Do you understand the purpose of the blinker?
I don't like giving people like a warning.
Exactly. Like,
they don't need to know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right. Right. What if there's an assassin behind me? I just told them where I'm going.
I had someone in Chicago once tell me that they didn't use their blinker because they knew if they were on the highway and they put their blinker on, the person wasn't going to let them in. They'd just speed up and not make sure that they didn't get into that lane.
Yeah.
Which is probably true.
In LA, that's how it is too. You know, different cities have different rules for driving. And in LA, if someone is like trying to get in your lane, it's the law to go faster and not let them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The law, written law.
Yeah, it's written law.
Yeah. Yep.
So some common ways that road ragers take out their aggressions, obviously yelling,
machine guns,
swearing, middle fingers, trying to fight someone, sideswiping another car, or even ramming into another car, which seems really ridiculous because you're either going to, you know, hurt yourself or kill yourself or at least cause damage to your own car. It seems kind of silly to ram another car intentionally, but, you know, to each their own. Some people then start tailgating like other people.
I feel like too many people have watched Mad Max and they thought that was a documentary.
You know what's funny? We're going to talk about this later, but when in the 80s when road rage was starting to become a thing, there was one guy who was like blaming the Road Warrior movie. I'm serious.
Really?
That makes sense. Yeah.
What about Death Race 2000?
They did not mention Death Race specifically. I'm
that
sorry.
That was like
Jim.
1975. So
I think one of the best moves that you could do is put on those leather fingerless gloves and a helmet as you're getting pissed off, right? And you're like, that's it. It's go time.
Other things that people do, they'll tailgate like we were talking about before. Like so, and I admit I've been guilty of that in the past where someone cuts me off or does something and I'm fucking glued to that bumper, which is not smart at all, but a NASCAR Kevin comes
right because if they stop, you're fucked.
Exactly
like it's,
but
totally your fault
at the time. It's, you know, it's very satisfying. Other things: slamming on your horn or flashing your lights, throwing objects at cars, driving really aggressively to like be intimidating to other cars, and of course, as we talked about, trying to run cars off the road, which is still crazy to me that 2% people admit to doing that. It's very alarming.
Yeah, it's a big number, but
yeah, it's gotta be like a random survey. I don't think that's like they don't have those people's names and numbers, so because that's attempted murder.
I would say that it's got to be random. Yeah, it's anonymous for sure. Do you guys have any, like, have you, other than John, your dude in the shoulder passing you in the semi, have you ever had any people like lose their shit where it was kind of scary?
I have.
Yeah. I don't think I have.
What happened?
Oh, okay. So here's what happened. My girlfriend at the time was driving and she gave the guy, so I don't know, she's getting in an altercation and she gave this guy in a huge truck the bird, right? And it was 100% her fault. No offense to her. She was just, you know, she made a mistake. She didn't see what she did. And the guy honked at her. So she's like, fuck you, motherfucker. And flipped him off. And then he had to chase us around and stuff. And I got out of the car, like, after because we all stopped and there was going to be a confrontation. And I said, is there any way that you can't kick my ass? Because I totally know she probably should not have flipped you off, but I don't want to fight about this. I just want to get back in the... I just want to get in an argument with my girlfriend on the way home.
Like a man.
Like a man would. Yeah. How'd that end up?
It ended up great. Okay. He was kind of laughing, but he was like super aggressive. And yeah. I was actually kind of surprised that he got so pissed at her for flipping him off. I mean, it's a double standard and sexist, but I would not. If I saw a cute girl and she flipped me off, I'd probably just kind of giggle. Right? Like, I wouldn't be like, fuck, I'm going to kill you.
I don't care. I don't know that I care if anyone flips me off. It's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's not. It's a finger. Who cares?
We have this thing, like me and somebody's in high school, where we do the side flip. So if somebody like pisses you off or whatever, you drive past them and you flip them off without looking at them, so they don't get the satisfaction of seeing your face.
I've done that,
right?
Too. They do not like that at all.
Yeah, it's like, God, I can't fucking flip you off right back.
I had this one time in high school. I was driving down kind of a busy road. And this van, it was this old couple and this old dude in a van pulls out in front of me. I mean, I had to slam on my brakes. It was kind of scary. Like because it was like a 55 mile an hour highway or road, and he pulled out right in front of me. So I just sat there like this. with my this is a podcast, I got to remember that. But I have just have my middle finger resting.
It's a really white finger.
White finger resting up against the steering wheel. Just stayed. I just kept it like that as I was driving behind him. And finally he sees it. And the guy looks in the rearview mirror and he just starts doing this middle finger thing in his rearview mirror. And I can see his like wife in this passenger seat going like this. This guy is losing his shit.
That was my mom.
We come up to like a yellow light and he like slams on his brakes and then it turns red. And then all of a sudden he goes through the intersection and almost gets into an accident. And I'm like sitting there going, I think I just caused this guy to have a fucking heart attack. Yeah. Like he lost his shit up there.
I can't remember what colors mean.
I'm so angry I'm seeing red or green or yellow. I don't know.
I don't know which one. And I don't know what to do with this information either.
So here's my this is not a road rage story, but it's just my dad recently was telling me he said when you start getting older he's like you'll try to pay attention to things but you don't. So my dad stopped at a red light and he got a new truck or he recently got a new truck. So he was at this red light and then he was turned on something on the truck, on the radio or something like that, and then he just went through the red light. And there was a cop who like was right behind him, like pulled him over, and the cop was like, "What are you doing?" And my dad was laughing, and he just like, he goes, "I'm driving while I'm in my 70s. So he's like, he goes, "You gotta give me a ticket, you gotta give me a ticket." He's like, "I totally ran that red light," and he goes, "Cause I turned on the radio." So
that's fantastic. Yeah. All right, so a little bit of history. The term road rage was first used in the summer of 1987 in your home city of Los Angeles. Apparently, motorists were getting a bit shooty on the highways back then.
Bang, bang, duck, duck.
This is from a 2017 Timeline.com article by Stephanie Buck. By the end of August of 1987, there were 5 dead, 11 injured, and hundreds of road rage incidents statewide. Numerous headlines and reports from the Los Angeles Times cited hysteria, terror, paranoia, and called the rash of violence an epidemic. Newscasters at local station KTLA reportedly coined the term road rage during this period. People were legitimately scared to get on the road at this time. Cab drivers asked passengers if it was cool if they take smaller streets over the highways. One driver said they didn't mind paying the higher fare. They told me that they would rather shell out a couple extra bucks rather than be shot at. A 19-year-old pizza delivery driver said that he got like goosebumps every time someone tailgated him because he wasn't sure what was going to happen next. And people started packing heat just so they could defend themselves, just in case something got weird. Just one summer of rage in your hometown.
What year was that again?
87.
87. I remember that year. It was a bad one.
were you in LA by then?
Yeah, and I was driving too.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you legitimately remember anything that I just said? And like, did you remember that being a problem then?
I don't. Not for me. No, I don't. I don't know if it.
Well, you lived in Valencia.
I remember the Night Stalker being a bit of a bigger thing.
Okay, yeah,
in the 80s. Like, I don't remember. Like, I mean, I vaguely remember what you're talking about.
Have you guys watched that documentary?
Yeah, I did. That was fucking crazy.
I haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's super creepy.
It's good, and they show like all the pictures of the dead bodies and stuff.
Yeah, I heard it's super violent. Yeah,
is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's a new like Netflix series, limited series on that. I heard it's pretty gory, and I'm gonna cut all this out, but it's. I think the what they said that I saw was the most fucked up thing about this serial killer is that he didn't have a type. Like he would kill men, women, old, young, kids. Like he didn't have.
Why are you cutting this out? That's interesting.
Because it has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Who gives a shit? It's called a tangent.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. It's all staying in.
Good. I'm getting podcast rage.
John already has podcast rage. Now you have podcast rage. And I'm getting podcast rage just because I'm pissed that you guys have podcast rage.
Well, I got over it really fast, Kevin. You needed fucking do some deep breathing.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Sorry.
Man. Who else is running a fever?
All right. We got to hurry up before John dies.
He does not look good. I can just see it. Just looks like there's a beard just resting on a fucking decomposing body.
His rage is probably partially caused by the fact that he got it from you.
Hey, let's not give him motivation, man.
He hasn't thought about that yet.
He hasn't.
No, I know that you gave it to me. It was cute at first. It's not cute anymore.
John, I'd do it all over again.
I would not. I would totally not do it all over again.
I didn't give it to you on purpose.
Well, then why would you want to do it again?
Because it worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah. I get to see, like, when I look at you, it's like looking at myself 4 days in the past. I do not look good. looks like I need to brush my teeth, too. Past Greg did not brush his teeth very much.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you. So I
have you been masturbating at all?
No, not at all.
It's important to keep the ejaculate going, man.
That's like, I don't think that's a scientific fact.
It is, too. Otherwise, you're going to have COVID babies.
That's not how babies happen, or COVID.
Well, what makes you an expert?
I will say that I normally trim my beard every couple of days, and I didn't trim like my beard for almost 2 weeks, and today I had like all grown over my top lip.
Wait, you had a longer beard?
Yeah, but it was like...
Then you would have if you had trimmed your beard?
I was literally like, it was like, they were like hair just, I would wake up with like beard hair in my mouth. So.
And hash browns?
I wish hash browns.
Okay, so...
I can't believe he just told a story about his fucking beard hair getting longer.
There were, of course, a variety of theories on why the violence was getting worse. Some went the racist route and blamed immigrants not used to freeway systems and said it was hard to communicate with them, so tensions flared. That was a quote by somebody.
You can communicate with this fucking, with this Colt 45.
Yeah. But the general consensus was that there were just so many damn cars and not the right infrastructure to handle them, which makes a lot of sense. Colorado's actually going through something similar to that, not quite the violence, but there's so many people that moved here in a short amount of time and the infrastructure just can't handle it. So all like the main roads are just jammed, you know, all the time during, rush hour and whatnot.
Wait, how far is your commute, Kevin?
Do you really want to know?
Well, I mean, right now it's, I think, from your bedroom to your, I don't know, wherever room.
No, I go into the office.
Oh, you're back to going in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It's about, I mean, on a bad day, probably about 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, fuck you. Okay.
That's a bad day.
Yeah. Fuck you.
That's if I hit all the lights.
That's if he pees his pants.
Yeah. That's if I shit myself, yeah. I have to stop and clean up. No, it's 2 miles. I have a 2 mile, yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Mm. Are they 2 consecutive miles?
Yeah, so I used to have when I first moved to Colorado, I had a much rougher commute. It was about probably about 45 to an hour normal without.
So do you like stop at a Starbucks to break up the commute, or like how do you? Like,
no, I make coffee at home, save a little money, you know.
okay.
No, I have to be at work at 8:30, and I leave about 20 after. Yeah.
I hate you.
I know.
So
but Greg was very mad at me when he visited, and I had the last day he was here, I went to work and. I remember I come out from my bedroom and I'm just, kind of standing there talking to him, and he's just giving me this look. He's giving me this like side eye shit. And I'm like, what? And he's like, is that what you're wearing to work? And I just had like a t-shirt and a hoodie on and jeans. And I'm like, yeah, why? And he's like, fuck you. I hate you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Then I got to tell him about the commute and he hated me even more. But hey,
I think I'm.
Then I had Kevin rage.
I do graphic art. What do you want? I don't do sales.
Yeah, but we sell to people who do things with wood, and we're always on the phone with them. It's like, I get like if we have to go out somewhere, but I never have understood why we have to wear dress clothes.
Yeah, I don't.
It's because we want to look professional, John.
For who?
For each other.
For each other. Jinx. Mm.
One California highway patrolman had a theory. He said, this is nothing new, the violence. They just now have weapons. I thought that was pretty probably pretty true.
That's pretty poetic.
I wonder if there's... I didn't find any research on, like, as far as the history of things go. I told my wife I was doing road rage, and she's like, what are you going to do for the history? Are you going to talk, like carriage rage, or what are you going to talk about? And I didn't see if there was, like, old school... I couldn't find anything that far back, but...
Like Mennonite rage?
I imagine that carriage... Yeah, they got mad at each other, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Put on your goddamn blinker!
I do know that with carriages in New York, before the invent of the automobile... People were sick and tired of like the metal noise of the metal wheels
and the horse shit too.
And the horse shit. Yeah, there was like they would have parking or not parking lots, but they'd have these empty lots just full of horse shit. And that would bring rats and all kinds of shit. Other shit.
Other shit, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful story.
But I'm more talking about the on the road stuff. You know, I wonder if they did middle fingers back then.
They probably did, or they were like, "How dare you, sir!" Mm-hmm. And that was basically equivalent of
"I challenge you to
then.
A duel." A lot of dueling going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glove slapping.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Revoked invitations to my birthday.
I was going to leave a calling card for you, madam, but now I will not.
No, I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself politely.
The violence eventually faded, and the term road rage actually didn't catch on at the time. It really gained steam in the mid-1990s and became what some consider to be an epidemic in 1997 when Princess Diana died, and the New York Times published a headline reading, "Road Rage in Paris." So that was the first time it really caught on. Newspapers ran stories blaming Hollywood, high-performance cars, and some even blamed political correctness, which I don't know if that makes any sense, but, you know, people hate political correctness in this country.
They do.
And people, I feel like people love to throw blame around, like, or, you know, if they don't understand something, they want to try to blame something, like, right away. I remember when the Columbine High School massacre happened in 1999. I remember it was just, like, immediately it was movies, video games, Marilyn Manson. Like, everybody, like, if there's ever, like, a problem with violence or anything like that, people love to just try to point at whatever they can try to figure out.
Yeah, and now we kind of flip that on its ear. So when something like Sandy Hook happens, we just blame it on people just being actors. Like, it didn't even really happen.
Like, it's not real. Yep. Yep. It's all fake. That woman is insane. That green woman.
Oh, yeah. She's, yeah. Well, and anyone like her is insane. So yeah. About 74 million people.
Yeah, the words that are coming out of her face aren't... I feel like she just came from another galaxy and just got here in her flying saucer and just started spewing bullshit.
Right. Right. Yep.
So let's go over a few stats. These statistics are from the are in the U.S. as of January 28th of this year. 66% of traffic fatalities are caused by aggressive driving. 37% of aggressive driving incidents involve a firearm, which is kind of high. As I said, these stats are for the U.S., so I guess that makes sense.
Wait, how many?
37% of aggressive driving incidents involve a firearm.
That's a big number.
It is.
Have you guys ever had a firearm brandished at you by someone that was not, like, obviously a cop?
Oh, I thought you were going to say not your father. So,
oh, Jesus. I have never had a gun pointed at me at all. I'm knocking on wood right now.
I have. I've had three of them, but they were all police officers.
I know, John, you had one for it wasn't a TSA guy. It was somebody at the airport, though.
It was, yeah, National Guard.
You said
Guard
that in
guy.
The last episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had a guy pull a gun on me when I first lived, like when I first moved to LA. And I did the smart thing and I ran. So
did you run in a zigzag?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Pretty good foresight there.
John's got his turn signals on.
left, right.
How does he keep know where I'm going?
I'm telegraphing that somehow.
A total of 12,610 injuries and 218 murders have been attributed to road rage over a 7-year period in the United States. It's estimated that 30 murders per year are linked to road rage.
Fuck.
Males under the age of 19 are the most likely to exhibit road rage, which kind of surprised me. Does that surprise you guys? It seems a little young.
No, I think because of... Right, I mean, because you're so...
That life experience and your ego so tied to your performance.
And you're so full of testosterone.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, you're just at the peak of that, and, you know... And like, when you're our age... It's like, oh, come on now. Like, please, if you're going to shoot me, don't make me get out of the car. Just shoot me through my car. Like, I want to die in my comfortable car. I don't want to get out.
And so fucking lazy. Don't want to. I mean, I guess if it's snowing out, yeah, you definitely don't want to get out of your car.
There's any sort of weather.
Right. If it's rainy, I don't want to be outside when it's rainy.
Once it get wet. That's
only
good.
To get shot too, right?
Yeah. Like, you're not only are you getting shot, but it's raining and you're all wet. Like, that's what a terrible day.
Now water's gonna go in the bullet hole.
Yeah, it's gonna affect it probably, you know.
That's bad.
I can't be good.
That is real bad.
82% of drivers in the US admit to having road rage or driving aggressively at least once in the past year. Road rage related deaths have gone up over 500% in the last decade. Cities where drivers are most likely to be ragey. Any guesses?
L.A.
Not on there, surprisingly.
Really?
I was surprised by that, too. Neither was Chicago, which I was surprised. New York for sure.
You know, from personal experience, I drove through New Orleans, and people were fucking assholes.
That was not on the list, but I believe it. Detroit was another one. Atlanta. Phoenix, which makes sense. A lot of old people and a lot of
armed people.
And a lot of armed people. That's a bad combination. Miami, which probably just density and heat. It's so humid. I mean, people are just angry.
Yeah,
that's
so humid. Not comfortable.
Houston, same problem. Super humid down there. Cincinnati, just super racist. So, I mean, that's part of that.
Yeah.
And this one actually surprised me. One of the cities most likely to be kind of rage-filled with road rage is San Diego. Does that surprise you guys? I've never been to San Diego, but it doesn't seem like a place that would be like that.
It's like the nicest climate in the country.
Right? It's always like 75 and breezy.
But the person who lives in San Diego is a lot like the person who lives in Phoenix. They just happen to have more money. So they live in San Diego.
Okay. Got it. That makes more sense.
I don't know. What do you think, Greg? Do you agree with that?
I don't know that to be true, but maybe.
I mean, because that OAN, that fucking crazy right-wing news outlet, that's down there in San Diego.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's San Diego?
Wow. Yeah.
Is San Diego pretty conservative?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Every time I go to San Diego, I'm always in a really good mood because I'm in fucking San Diego.
No, it's beautiful down there, but it's just pretty conservative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about the states that have the least rage? And don't say Alaska or Hawaii. They're not on there. Although I feel like Alaska shouldn't be super ragey, but...
Wait, city or states?
State. This time it's states.
Oh, okay. I would say Alaska.
Okay.
Is it Alaska? No, it's Hawaii.
I would probably, like, not Florida. Florida is probably, I mean, Florida's got all kinds of problems, so it's not Florida. Nevada? Probably Utah. Utah is probably not a road rage.
They don't drink, so they're angry.
That's a good point.
I would say
but they fuck a lot.
They do fuck a lot.
I'd say like Montana.
No, I would have thought something like Montana or Wyoming,
like
something like that too.
Sparsely populated.
Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, and Minnesota.
Okay. Well, I guess if you're in Minnesota, it's so fucking cold that you got other things to worry about.
But what I just realized is this: the stats I read are not very, very, very good because it said one of the cities that was most likely
was
to be
Atlanta.
Ragey was Atlanta, but one of the states that is least ragey is Georgia. So I guess as long as you're not in Atlanta, people are very courteous drivers, apparently.
They're like, come on through now.
That's good. Men are more likely to show signs of road rage than women. I'm sure we're very surprised by this stat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think that men should be allowed to own weapons of any kind. Guns, knives, bats, blunt objects of any kind.
Bats?
Like,
what if they just want to play softball on the weekend?
Nope, because they're going to end up killing somebody with that bat, you know? And most likely it's going to be their wife. So men should be allowed to have weapons of any kind.
Millennials are most likely to be involved in aggressive driving, so I guess that makes sense.
Really?
If they said the younger people are more prone to it.
Right, but aren't millennials like in their 30s now?
That's true, yeah.
It's all about demographics, right? Like how many people are driving? Like what's the highest population of demographic that's driving? You're probably going to have more angry people.
The other part of that stat is that baby boomers are the least likely to be involved in road rage related incidents, which I guess it's probably just got to be an age thing, though. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a generational thing. So what the hell is going on here? All right. In 2019, a woman was teaching her son how to drive and was shot to death in a road rage incident after a minor car crash. Ugh. In August of the same year, a man ran over and killed a 60-year-old man because he thought he was throwing golf balls at his car. I actually read this story. This guy like thought that this old 60-year-old guy is on the phone with his brother. This dude in a Mercedes thinks that this guy threw a golf ball at him, so he pulls over and starts yelling at him, and the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Get away from me. And he's talking to his brother on the phone. The guy pulls back and hits the gas and kills him. Hits him. While he's on the phone with his brother. And his defense was something like the man was behind garbage cans and he didn't know he was there. That was like his defense. Well, why are you running over the garbage cans?
Did he go to jail, this person?
You know, the article I read hadn't... he was in custody. They hadn't showed what happened to him after that. Again, in 2019, a woman attempted to shoot another driver in a road rage incident, but instead shot her husband in the head.
Oh, yeah.
He did live, but...
he was pissed.
he was like, seriously, we got to take you to target practice. A 2009
target practice, I mean, I'm going to divorce you because I'm not shot me in the fucking head.
It's a pretty good reason to leave somebody.
Crazy asshole. Yeah.
A 2019 CNN article by Sandy Lamott called Road Rage is on the Ride, Here's How to Survive These Dangerous Encounters, cited a study on PubMed.gov, found that angry drivers more often than not get into the car angry, whether it be work stress, home stress, relationship issues, money issues, whatever, which obviously isn't earth-shattering. I mean, when I'm in a great mood, you know, Friday driving home from work on my very long commute, you know, if someone does something shitty and you're in a good mood, you're kind of just like, what a fuckhead, you know? But if you get in the car and you're already in a bad mood, you're obviously more likely to get pissed off if someone cuts you off.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
Same thing with podcast rage. Yeah. If I hop on here with the expectation that Greg's going to be a dick to me, well, I'm coming in hot, you know?
Well, isn't that every episode?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. Sorry, John.
What, you have a light on your head? What is on your forehead?
It is very bright.
There's a light on my forehead.
Yeah, it's like something is reflecting.
It's like a red dot, and it's moving around. And I think someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, it's aimed at your head.
Let me see. Oh, I know what that is. That's my like recording thing that's going past that shows that we're actually recording this episode, which is a terrible idea because you guys have been complete shit in it. But at least I know it's recording.
Hey, maybe if you stop recording, that light would go off.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
Don't do that. Jake Nelson, director of traffic safety for AAA, said that drivers are feeling the pressures of balancing work and family, not enough hours in the day to do all the things that you have to do. So folks are sacrificing sleep in order to get things done, which only exacerbates the likelihood that somebody will experience a road rage incident. They have also found that a lack of sleep contributes heavily to aggressive driving. Our lives are so busy nowadays, we try to pack so much into our day, and we generally leave our houses in a rush. Even me, I fully admit, like especially now with a kid, I mean, again, I'm not gloating, but I have a very short commute. I still rush out the door. It's amazing. Like, it shouldn't happen, you know? But
what cracks me up is when I was just thinking about like things that piss you off, and you know, people get mad when they're hangry.
Yeah.
And I think it's so funny if people get like pissed off when they're like in a drive-thru line at Starbucks. It's like, you don't have to be there. There's no reason at all for you to be there.
I'm late for work. Well, maybe you shouldn't have stopped for coffee.
Yes.
What the fuck?
But if I'm not in this line, how can I be mad?
Yeah. Then you get to the front. You're like, God damn it. I'm going to buy that guy coffee behind me.
You think that's the guy who starts it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
just passive aggressive purchasing for the car behind you.
I love when people are passive aggressive in front of me and give me shit. It's like this. Hey, this guy paid for your coffee, and you said you're an asshole. I'm like, sweet, free coffee.
Do I still get the creamer?
Did you hear the second part, sir? What? No, I heard free coffee, and then I tuned out. Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong. I am an asshole, and I had free coffee, so I won.
So we are sleeping less. Statistics show that 1 in 3 Americans don't get enough sleep. So if they find a lack of sleep leads to aggressive driving and 33% of Americans don't get enough sleep, doesn't take a John Banks to figure out what happens, what's going on there.
It never takes a John Banks to figure out anything.
All right. Well,
wait a minute. I'm putting this together. Hold on. Fuck you guys.
Okay. I think you should workshop that some more. We're going to get into the psychology of road rage in a little bit. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back after this word from a sponsor, potentially. I think I'm just going to stop it at, we'll be right back.
You are selling it.
We'll be back from a word from my mom.
All right, welcome back. Let's get into the psychology of road rage. This from a 2013 Psychology Today article called The Psychology of Road Rage by Steve Albrecht.
Hey, Kevin, can you say psychology 6 more times?
It is kind of, I agree. There was a lot of psychology in there. I didn't realize that when I was, shut up. Fuck you.
You love that word, Greg. You love telling us that you took psychology in college.
I just don't like the way Kevin uses it.
He's mad because I used it that many times and didn't mention that he has a psychology degree. That's why he's pissed.
I was gonna do my episode on the psychology of road rage, so now I'm fucking pissed.
What factors cause a usually mild-mannered person to see red? Some people who are ordinarily even-tempered admit that they have a tendency to easily lose control of their emotions when they get behind the wheel. Their fuses are lit when they put their keys into their ignitions. For some road ragers...
Can I answer that before you get going?
Please.
Okay. I think something that happens to you is, psychologically speaking, something that triggers you and gets you pissed off is like fear. Fear is a big driver for rage. So that is a really big spark. So if someone cuts you off and you thought maybe you were going to die in a car accident or at least get injured or crash, then I think that can set you off. It's a very short distance between fear and rage.
I agree. I think that's a very good
Greg.
Point.
Yeah. That was fantastic of you.
Are you being sincere right now?
Uh-huh. You can't tell by my voice that I'm being sincere?
No.
For some road ragers, it's a need for control to counter other drivers whom they feel violate their proximic space, or it's a need for possession of their lane or their part of the road. For others, it's unchecked anger and aggression. It's hormone-based, primitive small-brain thinking, bringing a lack of emotional intelligence and the need to dominate someone else and their unshareable space. And then add in unchecked
this is
egos,
getting out of hand fast,
the need for superiority, narcissistic pride, and male genital one-upmanship, as in, my vehicle is bigger than yours. He's kind of a snarky dude, but I sort of like him. It's kind of funny. The space thing was interesting to me, though, because I never thought of it like that. Perhaps we spend so much time in our cars that we consider this part of the road or this lane, this is my space, and... You know, I mean, how many times have you tried to merge onto a highway or into a lane and someone refuses to let you in? Like we talked about before, why you don't put your blinker on because someone will race up and not let you in. It's like, this is my fucking space.
Well, yeah, I don't want someone to beat me by a tenth of a second to where we're going, even though we're not going to the same place because I'm obviously going to your mom's house because she makes the best cookies.
When people won't let me merge, that is when I'm willing to wreck my car into their car. And here's the thing, like if it's, you know, because my lane starts closing, I don't speed up, I don't slow down, I just keep going the speed I'm going, like, and I figure, you know what, they're going to stop or we're going to file insurance claims.
You know, truthfully though, that is a good point though, because it's like, it's like you're being a dick. You're getting onto the highway. You're not doing anything bad. They're the ones sitting in the right lane. If you don't want to have to merge with anybody, move the fuck over, right?
Right.
God, I'm getting fucking pissed just thinking about this.
The best way to merge is to like zipper it, right? You don't just like get over too soon. You're supposed to go 1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah. Well, if everybody did it right, it would be easy.
Faster.
Well, if we're gonna talk like, and if people would get out of the fucking fast lane when you're not going fast, like that would also
it's
probably
a fucking
stop
a passing lane.
I was just
man.
Gonna say, John, that's the problem though. It's not the fast lane, and that's what people think it is.
When
it's
I'm
the
going 100 miles an hour and I'm having to go around everybody, it's a fucking fast lane.
Hey, get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah, they're in my lane. They're in my lane.
Well, it might be considered the fast lane, but you better not let anyone in another lane go faster than you.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I don't. And that's the thing is like anytime I'm always aware of who's behind me, and if I see someone coming up, I get over so they can go past.
I'm always aware of someone behind me.
But see, I would rather move over and then use that lane to pass. Whereas you're saying you'll just sit in that lane and move over if someone wants to pass.
But as long as he's going faster than everybody that's in front of him, it's totally legit. But if he sees someone coming up his ass,
phrasing, Greg.
Okay.
and you know, and I think too. I think another thing is that it's. I think we're kind of just like social media, where it's like it's someone you're talking to that you don't know. You can be a lot meaner to them because the stakes aren't as high if you're face to face with somebody.
Of course,
I think it's the same kind of thing. It's like you're in this car, and it's like, yeah, you know, they're another human, but are they really? You know, I mean, really, are they?
But even that though, you know, there was some research that I did where they talked about the idea that people feel more invincible in their cars too, though, because you'll say and do things in your car that you wouldn't do in like a public place if someone wronged
you.
You
like
know?
At a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
exactly.
If someone like bumped into you, you wouldn't be like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You'd be like, hey man. And they'd be like, oh, sorry. And you're like,
or not even say what the fuck's wrong with you. Say like ridiculous things like, I'll fuck you up, mother shit, goddamn fuck man. You know, like,
kill your family.
You guys are proving you never went out to dinner with my parents. All right, we went over that in the dining out episode.
Another thing that the article points out I thought was interesting is that, you know, it's always the other driver's fault too. We all feel that way. And I mean, no one ever says like, man, I got so pissed off at this fucker on my way home tonight. coming up, he was pissed me off. And then I realized it was my fault. So then I kind of relaxed after that. You know, no one ever, you know, it's always like, right. And I mean, obviously, I've definitely been guilty of things where I, you know, do the my bad, you know, where I just didn't see someone and I do something stupid. And normally, like, you do the my bad and wave and say you're sorry and it kind of cools things off. But still, like, it's not like, you know, I'm not a perfect driver, but, you know, I would like to think that I probably was pretty damn close compared to everybody else on the road. And I think we all feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That reminds me of a George Carlin skit he's got about driving. And he's like, when he's sitting behind the wheel and like, he's coming up on someone and he's like, look at that asshole right there just going so slow. And then some guy comes up behind him. He goes, whoa, look at that cocksucker. Oh, certainly no one's driving my speed.
Yeah. I like George Carlin also has a thing that I really like where he's like, don't you hate it when this guy just pisses you off and he cuts you off and you're so mad at him and you just got to get up beside him because you just want to see what this fucker looks like. Because I've totally been guilty of that. You do like the side turn like, oh my, yeah, he's just as fucking dumb looking as I thought he was.
Right. Or you stare at them and you just, because you want them to look over at you so they know that you know that they're fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And yeah. You can't if you fucked up, you never look over.
No, you can't. You look straight. You
can't
look over. Yeah. A 2019 article by Connor Cyrus on WCAX.com, which is a Vermont TV station, interviewed Barbara Colombo, a Champlain College psychology professor. She
that
says,
sounds like a fake name.
Colombo. Right. Is it only because of the TV show that you're thinking that? Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
She has like a glass eye.
She says people affected by road rage.
One more thing.
She says people affected by road rage get angry, take more risks while driving, and aren't worried about the consequences. For some reason, when you are in a car, you feel like you're in another space. Kind of what I was getting to before, John. So it's like you're a superhero in a superhero world, and the car protects you, she said. The problems come when people start feeling powerless in their car. Colombo says people try to take back that power by being aggressive and angry, which makes a lot of sense. If you get real mad, like stomping on the gas pedal feels good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it gives you like any sort of like power that you can feel driving aggressively, taking a turn fast, like just feeling like a race car driver for a second, like makes you feel in a weird way better when you're pissed off in a car.
It does, for sure.
I love it. It's great.
It's so much power.
I know. It is awesome.
Especially when you're driving a Yugo. You're like, fuck.
Or a Yugo? Fiat. That's a nice current reference there, Greg.
I'm Greg Mitchell, and I've got 75 jokes from 1988.
That's a lot. That's a big number of jokes.
A 2018 Vice article called This Is What Road Rage Does to Your Body by Carson Kessler says that 2/3 of drivers think they're good. I'm actually surprised it's not higher than that. According to an Allstate survey in 2011, drivers ranked themselves well above other drivers on the road in terms of driver knowledge, ability, and safety. The positive ratings drivers gave themselves were more than 2 times as high as the rating they gave to their own close friends, which I thought was funny because everybody thinks they're the best driver in the world, right?
I always think my credit score is better than it is, so it stands to reason that my driving is probably terrible.
So I have this friend who I will not name his name. But he grew up in New York, and so he actually started driving when he was 18 or 19 or something. He was very old.
Because he didn't need to drive. Right?
Yeah, because he didn't need to drive.
Yeah.
And I must say, I will not get in a car with him because it scares the shit out of me. I rode to Vegas with him once, and that was it.
Does he think he's a good driver?
Yeah, he does. And and he's always like, but I don't ever wreck. I'm like, yeah, but. He just like constantly like,
yeah, you're leaving a trail of destruction behind you.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't wreck because people are getting out of his way. Yeah. So
there's a guy that John and I work with that he kind of drives like that.
Yeah, he's a terrible driver.
For sure killed people and has no clue.
Yeah. He has never pulled into work and parked in a parking spot and done it straight. He always parks at an angle. Always. Yeah.
There's a guy I used to play hockey with, and his wife, and she used to say all the time, she's like, I'm the worst driver. I'm the absolute worst driver. And, you know, we kind of had a good laugh about it. And one time, her and Sheena went out sometime, and one time
she proved it.
She came home, and Sheena's like, oh my God, she is so scary. It was freaking me out. She really is like the worst driver. And she's like, as she's driving, she's like, see, I'm really bad at this. She's like, just watch a fucking road. Just like, it's like she knows how bad she is, like, too much. Like, you gotta, like, stop. Like, have some confidence, for God's sake. The article goes on to say, the privacy of being in our own car grants us certain type of anonymity, which also exacerbates the actions we take when we're angry, specifically the profanities that tend to spill out of our mouths in a traffic jam.
That's fun.
Stan Steindl, which is a great name, clinical psychologist and adjunct associate professor at the University of Queensland, said that when people feel anonymous, they no longer have the internal social self-checks of self-consciousness, embarrassment, guilt, or shame that would ordinarily rein in this type of behavior. Some people lose their shit in public, but I think most people would censor themselves or work harder to keep their cool, kind of like what we said before. In our cars, we can say whatever weird-ass shit comes to mind. You would say that, like you said, John, in a crowded restaurant.
But man, what if we could, though?
Like, wouldn't it be great?
What if it was just okay if we were just like, you're a fucking piece of shit?
I don't know. I used to work at Jack in the Box, and people were not afraid to hold back.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But again, they're in their cars. Are you talking about, like through the drive-thru?
It happened everywhere.
Really? Well, I mean, it is a Jack in the Box. It's not like you're getting the best people.
Aw. I worked there.
No, I don't mean the people who work there. I mean the people who go there. You're not going to Jack in the Box at 3 in the morning because you've made good choices.
You fucking sure as fuck did if you're getting 2 tacos for 99 cents. You did.
I went to Jack in the Box at 3 in the morning with you two in LA. Yeah.
Wait, did we go to Jack in the Box or Del Taco?
We went to both, I think. Well, maybe, because I was definitely in Jack in the Box with you, John. Maybe Greg wasn't there that night. Maybe it was after we saw that weird amazing dance off.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what was going on with that. We went to this bar one time and there was nothing going on. It was totally dead, and John and I were just sitting there chatting.
Is the Echo?
Yeah. Plex. And my brother and his, I think she was his girlfriend at the time, were just kind of talking in the, and John and I were chatting, and all of a sudden, like, these young people just kept rolling in. All of a sudden the music hits and they just have this like dance off. It was like the break-in movies in the 1980s.
Yeah, it was really good. But they were all so good.
They were super talented.
They were so good. And it was a whole bunch of Asian kids.
Asian kids and Hispanic kids. And they were all really good. Yeah, it was like a flash mob of amazing dancers.
I think the only way to truly commemorate that is to go to Jack in the Box.
And that's probably why we were like, you know what? Yeah. That was awesome. I'm hungry. Yeah. Where should we go? And John was like, I think we should go to Jack in the Box. I wonder if you were working, Greg.
No.
Okay,
I would have remembered you do ass clowns coming through the line.
He was shift manager.
He was shift manager.
He's a shift leader.
He was in the back taking care of payroll.
Smoking weed.
Doing blow. I used to do a lot of blow when I worked at Jack in the Box.
How could you afford it? You worked at Jack in the Box.
Come to think of it, it's probably sweet and low.
Ways to avoid road rage. How to keep yourself from getting a little bit ragey.
Don't do it.
From the CNN article by Lamont, do your best to get adequate sleep, reduce your own stress, leave yourself more time in the morning so you're not rushing out the door, be a courteous driver. Many people assume that they have the right of way while driving and cut people off, which can lead to anger issues between drivers. Don't attempt to take the right of way from another driver. Instead, let it be given to you by others. We would never cut somebody off in line at the grocery store because now we have to face them. So don't do it in a car. Easier said than done, but, you know, it's all nice and good to hear someone say that. Don't drive distracted. Put the phone down. Avoid eating. Don't put makeup on in the car.
Jesus. I mean, come on. Stop it. I'm trying to drive and do shit. You're trying to take everything away from me.
The article points out, while those kinds of behaviors in and of themselves may not cause serious accidents, they do cause fender benders, and now everyone's angry and late to work. Don't escalate situations. Assume the person was not acting maliciously and simply made a mistake. The CNN article continues, even if the driving mistake put you and your family in a moment of danger, it's best just to let it go. The argument that you almost killed my family is ridiculous in this case because there was no crash. Never escalate, especially in your own mind. All you're doing if you react with your children in the vehicle is training them in road rage.
This guy sounds like an asshole.
I know, right? What a dick.
I'm not a human. I'm like can control all of my emotions all the time.
But that goes back to what you were saying earlier, though, Greg, about fear. You know, you become scared and you have your family in the car and someone cuts you off and you slam on the brakes and immediately you become fearful and then you get angry after that. So I think the article is trying to say maybe try to rein in that fear and realize that it wasn't as close or as bad as you might think it was.
Yeah, but the problem is it's your brain and your brain's stupid.
I know, we learned that in the last episode.
Right.
Your brain's stupid.
Yes, it is. I'm not arguing that.
That's, I got nothing.
The Psychology Today article by Albrecht had some tips as well. Try to concentrate on your own driving. Don't make eye contact with other drivers, which we talked about before. Just do your thing.
Yeah, but that's passive aggressive.
That is passive aggressive.
That's an escalator, man.
Remember that only you can allow another driver to ruin your day. You can't control, coerce, or fix other people. You can only manage you.
John, yeah, fuck that. Can only fuck manage that.
This sounds like traffic school, man.
I'm going to control them. They just don't know it. I will ruin their day. I promise you.
You'll rule the day you cross paths with me.
So here, this is not a road rage story. This is actually just four or five years ago. I was at a red light. And then I got hit from behind, and it pushed me into the car in front of me. And I was like, whatever. I mean, because I wasn't hit hard. It was enough to, like, I felt the bump, and then it pushed me forward. So then I got out, and the people in front of me, like, the nicest two kids, they were probably, like, 22, 23, and they were both just like, ah, man, what are you going to do? Life happens. And then the guy who hit me, he was also probably 18 or 19. And I felt so bad for him because I think he had just started driving. And he had just, you know, had his first wreck and probably the first month he was driving. And he was like, he was super upset and it was really sad. You know, I was just like, oh, hey, man, it's no big deal. It's just a car. It's just a Lexus. It's just a fucking Lexus, you piece of shit.
and then you beat him mercilessly.
I hit him with my shoe. No, I was like, dude, it's fine. It's like, whatever. It's we, you know, I got all insurance. It'll fucking cover it. No big deal. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but and. You know, cooler heads prevail obviously more times than not. You know, I mean, the stats I'm giving are alarming, but it's not the norm, certainly. You know,
I think you're right. And for the amount of driving that we do, especially in Southern California, it's kind of amazing how things go along so flawlessly.
I think that about everything in the world. Like, I'm surprised more people don't die of a lot of other things.
That's true. In a lot of ways, we do have it figured out.
People should be falling out of the sky from the metal tubes we fly in, but they don't. Like, it should be like a daily thing.
You know, honestly, this podcast is fucking stupid. History doesn't defeat itself. We're doing just fine.
It is fucking stupid.
Thanks for listening to the final episode, because goddamn it, we don't need this.
Whose idea was this?
And we clearly hate each other, too. We're always yelling.
Except now I'm going to keep looking up to see if people are falling out of metal tubes. Great. I needed another fucking anxiety.
If something does something stupid on the road, ignore it. You never know what's going on in their lives. And you also never know if they're a gun-toting lunatic.
Or a gun tutor.
Or a gun tutor.
or a trumpet player.
Fuckers.
They're going to get out
so
of
many possibilities. Two guys who can barely speak English when they're leading. I'm getting shit right now.
Well, you're the one tooting your gun.
they're going to do some road jazz.
Yeah.
That'll escalate the situation.
It's like, put the trumpet down. Put the trumpet. Oh, fuck, he's improvising. Did it, but tweet.
Where'd that guy get an upright bass? I mean, it sounds fantastic. It's really sort of working together, but I still want to fucking kill him.
Wish he wasn't in my lane.
There's a sig alert on the 101. There's a jazz band. Breakout jazz band.
Handling a particularly ragey driver. If you do something that enrages someone else, I said this before, try to admit fault. We've all done dumb things. It's hard to get mad at someone who's acknowledging a mistake, I think, for the most part. I mean, some people are just dicks, but if someone pisses you off and you go up beside them and they look at you and they mouth the words, I'm sorry, and it's hard to get mad, right? So that is one way to kind of diffuse the situation. Don't participate. Let them be angry. Do their thing, but don't throw fuel on the fire.
I refuse to take part in this.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you can. You have the ability to do that, obviously. And biggest thing, don't ever get out of your fucking car. Don't ever get out of the car. both the Wisconsin woman who was shot and killed while teaching her son how to drive, as well as the woman who accidentally shot her husband, they got out of their cars. Like, they got out and they were yelling at each other and they furthered the escalation. That's when the gun came out. Just,
yeah,
it's not worth it. Stay in your car.
That's good advice, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Stay in your Yugo.
Stay in your fucking Yugo. I know it sucks that you're driving a Yugo. I don't know if I've seen a Yugo.
You know what? If you're driving a Yugo, get out of your car because you probably want to die.
Yeah,
get out of your car.
You're not,
start some shit with somebody.
Yugo, not a sponsor of the show.
Yet. Knowing our luck, they'll be the ones to come to us, be like, yeah, we'll give you some money. We don't have much, but we haven't made a car since 1988. But
yeah, right.
If you're fearful that another driver is coming after you, the article suggests you drive to a police station, a fire station, a hospital, or at least someplace very public so that they don't
I think you should drive to a fucking boxing ring. Instead of an old school, man. Just put your fucking gloves on while you're driving to. You're like, wrap it.
Hey, you wait there. I got this.
Yeah. Or just drive with your boxing gloves on.
Yeah, there you go.
Just save time.
Wake up 10 minutes earlier and leave yourself time to put boxing gloves on.
That's right.
But go to bed 10 minutes earlier so you don't lose sleep.
Exactly. See? So. We're always solving problems here on History Defeats Itself.
But eat a good breakfast.
Yeah. Well, that's always important, Greg.
Before you put the gloves on.
Yeah. I suggest like oatmeal and bananas.
Yeah.
Sounds boring. I like John's egg McMuffin diet better.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I'm sorry, McGriddle.
You could spontaneously shit your pants that way, and there's no way you're wiping your tushy with boxing gloves on.
Oh, that's a good point. Wiping your ass with boxing gloves, that seems really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Side note as well, we talked about self-driving cars on a previous episode. That's an interesting kind of thing that would cure road rage. I mean, obviously, if we had self-drive, if everyone was in self-driving cars, there would be no... It would be hard. I mean, unless they program the cars to get mad at each other. It'd be kind of tough to...
I wonder what setting that is to, like, annihilate humans.
Yeah. There's a road rage setting on the car.
Yeah, there's a road rage setting.
It's like murders actually go up.
Yeah. All right, guys. We are at last call.
What?
What? That went so fast, Kevin.
I know. That's because it was so conversational and because you guys were a delight, a joy.
Aww.
That's all I got. A delight and a joy.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
So I am the only one doing a shot because my two co-hosts are still COVID-y. But raise a glass if you got one at home. Cheers.
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 We all do stupid shit and almost all of us have done stupid shit in a car. But this is a time we can really learn from others' mistakes and not ruin our own lives. Or the lives of others. History certainly has the potential to defeat itself here, but we can still save it. There is no way someone can wrong you on the road, on your way to work, enough that it justifies pointing a gun at them and pulling the trigger, ever. Or running them off the road, for that matter. Or just ramming their car. Think about it. The potential exists that you could go to jail for years or the rest of your life. You could kill someone. You could end their life, whether that's the other driver, a passenger, an innocent bystander, or yourself. Just because someone did something that pissed you off on the road. Is it worth it? Probably not. Even in a smaller incident, if someone does something stupid and you slam on your gas and pull up next to them and you start swearing, honking, flipping the bird, losing your shit, your blood pressure is through the roof, you're shaking, you're sweating, you go home, you slam the door, you bitch about this fucking idiot to your wife or your husband or your roommate or your dog. This has possibly ruined your entire evening, and more than likely that other driver forgot about you long ago. They haven't even given you a second thought. So who's winning here? Do you really think that they go home and said, boy, I really wronged that guy. I need to be a better driver. Not a chance. So again, what's it worth? To quote Dr. Steve Albrecht, go forth down the road and be yourself with compassion towards others. Stop caring about your space. Tint your windows, get a subscription to satellite radio, and enjoy your music without commercials. Realize road rage is ridiculous, life-threatening, and not something you have to participate in ever.
Well done, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Get the fuck out of the fast lane.
And that's a great way to end. See you guys next time.